The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Vayetze. In the parasha before, we learned of Yaakov managing to obtain the brachas from his father Yitzchok in place of Esav, and Esav was extremely angry with this, and he wanted to kill Yaakov, and therefore his mother Rivka instructed Yaakov that he must go away, and she went to Yitzchok and she convinced Yitzchok that Yaakov must return to her home, Choron, and to look for a wife in her house, to go to the house of Laban, her brother. That's how the Sedra ended last week. Now this week's Sedra begins with Yetzi Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva v'yile Chorono. That Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went to Chorono. He was going to Choron, to the house of Laban. And he came upon a place, and the sun set. Sages tell us it set very rapidly before its time, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to lodge in this place. This place was Yerushalayim, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, where it was going to be built. He took from the stones of the place, he put them for his head, where he could rest his head, and he slept in this place. He lay down, and he had a dream. And in the dream he saw a ladder, which the base of the ladder was on the ground, and the top of the ladder was reaching into the heavens. The angels were going up, angels of Hashem were going up and down. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and gave him all kind of brachas. The Rashi in the previous Sedra, the last Rashi, relates that the sages make a calculation that Yaakov was to be gone for 22 years. 7 years he was going to work for Rachel, and instead Laban gave him Leah. Then another 7 years he worked again for Rachel, so that's 14 years. 6 years he worked after that for the sheep. This is all explicit later on. And then another 2 years it took him aladerach when he was journeying back home. So there's a calculation of 22 years. But the sages asked the question that in accordance to the age when he left and in accordance to the age when he returned, there's still missing 14 years. And this they answer, that before he went to the house of Laban, right after he left his father's house, he went to a yeshiva, yeshiva of Aver. Aver was a son of Shem, or Aver actually was a grandson of Shem. Shem was a son of Noach. And they had learned Torah by Noach. They had a yeshiva. And he went there for 14 years. And he stayed there and he learned day and night. And he never slept. If he did, yeah. But a person has to sleep. Well, he slept by putting his head down on the desk. But he never lay down in a bed during that time. Now he was coming from the yeshiva, and he was continuing his journey to the house of Lavan. That's why it states here, Vayishka Bamokamahu, that he slept in this place. So Rashi brings Loshim Miut. He slept here, but for the 14 previous years he had never slept. I was just wondering, I think this is disturbing a bit. Can you, yeah. The sages incidentally tell us that because he left his father and mother, and he did not fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbur Av Ve'Em, so he in turn lost Yosef, his son Yosef, Joseph, for many years. But Yosef also failed to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbur Av Ve'Em. And even though he did not do this willingly, he didn't go there for a holiday, he didn't go there because he wanted to see the world, he went there because he was running for his life. Esau wanted to kill him, and also for the great mitzvah of seeking a wife. Nevertheless, Mido Keneged Mido, Joseph also didn't do it willingly. Yosef was away from his father, not because he wanted to be, or not because he was taking a holiday in Egypt. He was there by force. His brother sold him, and so this is what happened. From here we see the great mitzvah of Kibbur Av Ve'Em and the consequences if one does not fulfill it. And the sages again calculate that for the 22 years that he was in the house of Lavan, Yosef was 22 years away from his father. How do we calculate 22 years by Yosef? Because the Torah tells us later on in the story of Yosef that he was 17 years old when his sons sold him to Egypt. Then it states that when he was 30 years old, when he was brought from the dungeon and he stood before Paro and he interpreted his dream, and he told him there would be 7 good years and 7 bad years. And then 7 good years take place, and then the bad years start. And the Torah tells us that after 2 years of the bad years, that's when the brothers started to come down, and that's when the father was finally reunited. Yaakov was finally reunited with Yosef. So he was 39 then, and he was 17 when he was sold. So these are the 22 years. So the Mida Keneged Mida, a measure for a measure, that Yaakov was estranged, he was away from his parents for 22 years. So the same happened to him, that he did not receive the honor and the company of his own son for those 22 years. Then the sages asked, but according to our calculation, there was another 14 years there that Yaakov was away from his father. The 14 years that he studied Torah in the yeshiva of Eivor. So on that the sages answer that for these 14 years that did not go into the Cheshbon, that didn't go into this calculation because of the Schus HaTorah. Even though the mitzvah of Kibbur Av Ve'Em is so great that we see what the consequences could be, but nevertheless the Schus of Torah is greater. The merit of studying Torah or teaching Torah is greater. And therefore, for those years that he was studying Torah, that in no way affected what would happen in regards to his sons, vis-a-vis himself later on. Now, in regards to the dream, the sages say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Yosef many things. Excuse me, Yaakov, many things in the dream. The Talmud of Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Agoiner Mordechai Katz, Zeche Tzadik Livrocho, whose Yahrzeit comes up this week, Yud Beis Kislev, he makes the following comment. Brings us a Gemara in Masechta Brochis, Daf Nun He Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "A marin leilo odom elami hirure libay." When a person has a dream, well, it tells us generally that we shouldn't rely too much on dreams, because many times dreams do not mean that much. But if it's an important dream, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu many times shows a person when he's dreaming what was on his mind and what was in his heart before. So he says, therefore, this dream, which was a very, very important dream, must have had something to do with what was on the mind and in his heart beforehand. And what could have been bothering him beforehand? So he said that where was he coming from? He was not coming from his father's house. He was coming from the yeshiva. And there he had studied Torah 14 years, day and night. And you could imagine Yaakov with his enormous abilities. Yaakov was known as the Bechir Sheba Oves. He was the perfection of Avram and Yitzchok. 14 years, day and night, he must have come to enormous levels in Torah. What could have been bothering him? He says, very likely what was bothering him, firstly we see that he had enormous desire for Torah, that he could study 14 years without interruption. And he had enormous desire to study the entire Torah. What very likely was bothering him was, how is it possible for a person to reach the highest levels of Torah since he's a boss of a dom, since he's a person who is made from the earth, he's a physical person. He had insight into how far Torah goes. It states, we know by Sfiras HaEmer, we count 49 days. And every day, and these are the 49 days between Pesach, the Geula, the redemption from Egypt, where we became free men, and the giving of the Torah. And every day of the 49 days, the sages tell us, is another level. Klal Yisrael went from one level to another, until 49 levels. And then the following day, Torah was given. And that's the Shara Hamishim. It's the 50th level, the Shara Torah, the gates to the Torah. And Yaakov had an insight into that, of how far Torah can go. So it was bothering him. How is it possible that a human being can comprehend and can understand and can reach such levels? So on this he explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him Sulam Mutzav Arzo V'Reisha Magia Shemayim. He showed him a ladder. Now, generally when we look at a ladder, that's something that usually you leave in the garage or in the backyard. We don't take too good care of it, and it's moved around from place to place. We don't think too much of a ladder. But if we give some thought, you would find that a ladder has in it an enormous principle. Enormous principle. And what is that? If someone will tell you, can you jump up into the sky? A few hundred feet. 20 feet, 30 feet, 100 feet. 100 meters. So you tell him, he's Meshuggah, who can walk up into the sky 100 meters? 200 meters, impossible. It's impossible. Yet, a ladder makes it possible. What is a ladder? Today we have skyscrapers. You have skyscrapers that can go 1,000 feet into the sky. And you can walk from the bottom all the way up to the top. You walk up the steps. What is this? What are steps? The steps are the principle of the ladder. The potential of a ladder, of this principle, is actually endless. You can build steps that will reach 10 feet, that'll reach 100 feet, that'll reach 1,000 feet. You could build steps endlessly. If at one point it gets too difficult to build steps, that's not because of the lack of the potential of the ladder. That's because of other elements. Maybe it'll get too windy up there. Maybe it'll become too costly. Or there'll be storms. But that's not because of the lack of the potential of the ladder. So the ladder itself has a potential in it where it can carry a person from one point to another point, even though that second point can be thousands of feet or thousands of miles away. If we go a little further into this, is how is the ladder made? It's a collection of small steps, of small rungs. You take a rung, a step, and you add another one to it, and you add another one to it, and you connect it. Then you have a ladder. In principle, there's no difference between a ladder that is 5 feet tall, or 3 feet tall, or 1,000,000 feet tall. See, it's the same principle. It's actually a bridge. It's bridging two points where it's impossible to go from one point to the second point. And therefore, you bridge it with these steps, with this ladder, with this sulam. What do we see from this? That where it's impossible to reach point B from point A because it's too far away or it's too high, with the principle of the ladder, you can reach any point with small steps and small rungs. And actually, the principle of the ladder is infinite. So when one comes to think of this, this is a very, this has a very, very great insight, great principle. Now, this was one thing that Jacob was shown. But now, if we give further thought to this, we go further. This particular ladder that was shown was not going from one place on the earth to another place on the earth, which we build bridges and we build skyscrapers and so forth, but it was going from the earth to the heavens. Sulam utzvatzo v'reisha magia shamayim. What is it telling us? That not only can a person reach unlimited distances with a ladder from one place on the earth to the other, but he also can reach unlimited, infinite distances from the earth to the heaven. In other words, a person will ask, how can I reach heavens? The answer is with a ladder.
And one should not be temeah, one should not wonder at this, because the sages bring, he quotes it from the Malbim, that a person is made up of both Eretz v'Shamayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he created him from the earth, and he gave him a soul from the heavens. So he is made of both Eretz v'Shamayim, and therefore he can encompass both. And in general, this is, in many places we have this, where any level that a person wants to reach, if it's beyond reach, through kfitza, through jumping, it becomes within reach through the sulam, by making a ladder, step by step, one step at a time. This is a principle both in the Elam HaGeshem, in the physical world, and in the Elam HaBilti Geshem, and in the spiritual world. So, this perhaps was encompassed in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing Yaakov in his dream. A further point. A further point is, he would say that the key to greatness is A, understanding this, that a person's abilities are unlimited, just as the ladder is unlimited, but B, is only if the person wants and desires unlimited goals, lofty goals. Because who was this being shown to? Yaakov. For someone to go into a yeshiva and to learn for 14 years, day and night, this takes enormous ambition, this takes enormous motivation. And you see, this only can be done because Yaakov wanted the entire Torah. He wanted to know everything. He was not satisfied with mediocrity. He was not satisfied with shallowness or with superficiality. Otherwise, he wouldn't have studied day and night for 14 years. And we're talking at Yaakov's level. So he wanted everything. He had this drive and this burning desire. If a person wants and he sets for himself lofty goals, he can never reach it by trying to jump from here to there. But he can reach any point by building a bridge, by building a ladder, by building steps, step after step after step. And then he would add that this, what we call chesed, we refer to it as she'ifa, we called it as ambition or motivation. This was not only a means to an end. This is not something which helps to drive the person to a certain goal. This itself changes the person. If a person sets for himself small targets, small goals, not only he won't reach great goals, but he becomes a small person. If a person sets for himself great goals, lofty goals, aside from the fact that he might reach it, it changes him entirely. He becomes a great person. This ambition, this motivation, changes the very essence of a person. In other words, it's not a means to an end. You must be ambitious, otherwise you will not reach that goal. You must want great things in life, and that will make a person into a great person. If he doesn't want great things in life, he wants small things in life, he'll be a small person. This changes the very essence of the person. Actually, we have a Mishnah in Masechet Avos that says something like this. This is what Ben Azai Omer. Ben Azai said, you should be as Kenomer. You must be as courageous as the leopard. Rotz Kitzvi. You must be as quick and fast and speedy as the deer. Kal Kinesha. You must be as light as the eagle. And Gibor Kari, and as strong as the lion. When it comes to Lavei Resavinu Shebashamayim, when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only it will project or propel the person to greater goals, but he will become a changed person from all of this. He'll be a person with a great Ruach Chaim, with an enormous spirit. And whatever he does will become great. Now, the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva would say, is what is the greatest isnagdus, what is the greatest obstacle to this type of thinking? What is the greatest barrier to this type of thinking? He says the greatest barrier to this type of thinking is yiush, despair. When a person despairs, and he says maybe that was going through Yaakov's mind. When a person despairs, and he feels that, no, this is too great of an undertaking. This is too much. This is something that I'll never be able to do. That itself is the greatest destroyer of what we're speaking about. That quenches the fires of the spirit of the person. And that, therefore, is the greatest danger to growth. And to godless, to greatness when it comes to a human being. This is similar to what we find here. Actually, when a person is miyush, he's full of despair. He's almost like a mace, he's almost like a dead person. Because he has lost his driving spirit. And it's the spirit that brings a person, that gives life to the person. He brings on this, the Gemara brings in the Avos Reb Noson, it states, Mal hoyo tchilosi shel Rebbe Akiva. What was the beginnings of Rebbe Akiva? So it says, tchilosi shel Rebbe Akiva hoyo, mem shono hoyo. Rebbe Akiva was 40 years old. Vele kora, vele shono. He had never learned Chumash, he had never learned Mishnah. He never learned anything. And one day he was by a spring of water, and there he saw that a great stone had become hollowed out by water which was dripping, constantly dripping on it. And Noso Kavachemeh Batzmeh. And he made a kal v'chomer. He made the following rationale. He said, Maharach ala kosho. Water is soft. And a rock is hard. And if soft water can hew out what is hard. And he was working with a different principle, not the principle of the sulam of the ladder, but he was working with the principle of temidus, of consistency, constant and consistency. He says, water which is soft can hew out from a rock which is hard. On what basis? Where it's constant and constant, never ending and never stopping. Then Torah, which is hard, Torah is like a fire, it states. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, my Torah is a fire. How much more so can it change the heart of a person, which is soft? How much more so can it totally change a person when it's who is soft, through this constant toil, this constant labor, this consistency? Now he said, why did Rabbi Akiva darshan this? Why did Rabbi Akiva make this rationale? And why was this tchilosi? This was the beginnings of Rabbi Akiva. Evidently Rabbi Akiva was bothered. When Rachel was telling him that she would marry him, but he has to go and study Torah, and he has to become great in Torah, he was bothered. He says, how can I become great in Torah? I'm 40 years old. I never studied at all. He didn't even know Aleph Beis. How can I become great? And this is what was bothering him. And he had Yush. He despaired. And then he saw this phenomenon. And this gave him an insight. And something else he did. Just like Yaakov was shown that any two points can be bridged through the principle of the sulam, of the ladder, any two points, not only in this world, but between this world and the next world. He also made the same kal vachomer, he also made the same rationale. Because here we're talking about water falling on a stone, and Rabbi Akiva is learning from there a rationale that has to do with Torah falling on one's heart. But one is in the physical world and one is the spiritual world. So he held there's no difference. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the worlds, he created the worlds, both worlds with the same principle. He said, if in the physical world we know continuity can eventually do anything when it comes to physical elements, then this is true in the spiritual world also. That continuity, tomid, belay hefsik, without interruption, can do anything. And now this gave him ambition. This shattered his despair, and he went and studied. Actually, we find that he went away, this was at later point he went away for 12 years and then another 12 years, and with continuity, without any interruption in between. And then finally the tells the Rosh Yeshiva, he adds one further point to that, and this is something which is also quite profound. We might say that, look, everybody's powers are limited. Everybody's abilities are limited. There's only so far a person can grow when it comes to Torah, and when it comes to deeds, when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to understanding. And there are certain, perhaps, yechidei shkule, individuals of the generation. They can grow. But this is not for everyone. In the Sefer, in the Medrash, Tanit of Eliyahu, in Eliyahu Rabba, Perechot Hei, it states as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Israel, and he chose the Ovish, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because of their deeds, because of their Torah, because he had so much love for them, and they brought so much simcha to him, so much joy. Therefore I would say, this is what the Tanna de Beilio is saying, Shekol echod ve'echod v'Yisrael, every individual of Israel, called echod ve'echod, chayiv leimar, is obligated to say, Mosai yagiu maisai, lemasei avosai, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Every individual in Israel is obligated to say, when will my deeds reach the deeds of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, my fathers? The Oves, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov came, they acquired all the goodness of this world, of the next world, and of the days of the Mashiach, only because of their great deeds and their study of Torah. And therefore, every individual, every Israel is obligated to say, when will my deeds reach the deeds of my forefathers? How can we all say that? How can our deeds reach? Evidently, this is the potential of a human being. And then further, the Tanna de Beilio says, and also called Echad Vechad Mishrael Chayv Leimer, and every individual Jew is obligated to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did the Almighty create the whole world? He created it for me. He created it only for the people that he placed there, for each one. To show, this teaches us the importance of the person, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and creates a whole world for a person. The importance, we're speaking always of self-esteem and the potential of a person, where he has to measure up his deeds and his Torah to that of the others of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Avraham, showed Yaakov, how this can be reached with the sulam, with the principle of the sulam, of the ladder, which not only can reach from one end of the world to the other, but even from the earth to the heavens. I'd like to go to one further point, which is not directly related, but also somewhat related to what we're speaking about. After this whole dream, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brochers, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov that he will look after him, it states, and this is right on Chof Tes Aleph, right at Sheni, Vayiso Yaakov Raglov. Yaakov lifted up his feet, Vayelech Arzo V'Nekedem, and he went on his journey towards the east, towards to the house of Laban. What does it mean he lifted up his feet? Vayiso Yaakov Raglov. He lifted his feet up. So Rashi says, Mishnizbase Beseder Tova, Shehuftach Bishmira. Once he heard the wonderful news that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised that he will watch after him, Noso Liboy Es Raglov, his heart lifted up his feet. And it became easy for him to walk. This is in Bereshis Rabbah. A feet, legs are supposed to lift up the person. Instead, Yaakov lifted up his legs. Nosa liba yes raglov, his heart carried his legs. What is this telling us? We are accustomed to think that the legs of a person support the person. When he stands, His legs are supporting him. When he walks, his legs are motivating him. His legs are moving him. See, this is how we are accustomed to think. In other words, the physical is carrying the non-physical. The truth of the matter is, it's not true. Even though it looks like the legs, our legs are carrying us, the truth of the matter is, it's the life that's in the person and the spirit that's in the person that was given to the person that is carrying the person through the legs. The legs are merely the servants of the life and the spirit that's in the person. And that's what moves the person. And it moves the person through the legs. The proof of the pudding is Ameshach here, a dead person. Okay. Dead person, he has legs. He has all his physical faculties. Yet he cannot move because you remove the spirit from him. If you replace the spirit back into him, then the legs will not carry the spirit. The spirit will carry the person by utilizing the powers of the legs. And this is true with all Gashmi. This is true with all physical world. The physical world has no motivation or movement in itself. The earth is known as a daiman. The earth, the sages categorize as a daiman, as a silent entity which does not move. If we ever see earth move, that's because something is moving it. If we ever see anything physical move, it's because something else, some other force is moving it. This is what the sages teach us. And therefore, man that was created from the earth, that component of himself that was created from the earth, is never moves anything. Something must move it. Now, the person is made up of a physical components, and then he's given the breath of life, and he's given a spiritual spirit, a neshama, nefesh elokim. The body moves in accordance to the strength of that spirit. Therefore, when Yaakov was told of the news that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guide him and he'll be mefanes him, he'll sustain him, and so forth and so on, Mishanis Baser, once he heard that, his spirit was strengthened. His spirit was strengthened. His spirit lifted his legs by Yisro Esraglov, Benase Kalalechas, and all of a sudden it was easy for him to carry on his journey, and it was easy for him to walk. And this is always true. Now, the Kofrim, those who deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence in the world, they are always looking. They judge by what they see. There's the Nigla and the Nister. They judge by what's apparent. They see a physical world. They cannot see a spiritual world. Since they cannot see it, it doesn't exist. So they're constantly seeking the physical causes of creation. Physical causes of creation, the physical causes of movement, can only go so far back. But you come to a cul-de-sac. And at that point, there has to be spiritual causes to the physical responses. But because they do not see this, And they believe only what their eyes will see. This is what the Chazal say, Ksil b'cheshech eilech. Fools walk in darkness. If they see nothing, they say there's nothing there. So therefore, they have to keep on manufacturing synthetic and false causes as to what brought creation into being, what physical cause brought creation into being, what physical cause brings movement into being. And they're constantly surprised in every decade, because the theory which they built on last year becomes shattered this year, and they seek further synthetic causes. The Chochem states the Chochem Ein of Bereisha. He doesn't only see with his eyes, he sees with his seichel also. He knows that the physical world is merely a shell for the spirit. And physical man is a garment for the spirit that was placed in man. And therefore, what moves the world? It's the spirit that's in the world. What created the world? The Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, that he placed in the world. This set the process going. And what moves man? The spirit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in him. His soul. And this starts the physical process going. It's known. It's always been known. This has been known to great generals of armies. This has been known to great coaches of athletic teams. That is the concept of spirit over body. Not necessarily the strongest army will win, but sometimes or many times the spirit can elevate one side far beyond their physical capacity, and they will win the war or they will win the game. And here we're not talking about just something psychological. But when a person is imbued with spirit, this gives him further strength, and it moves himself. It moves the body. This is why also it's very difficult to diagnose many diseases. Doctors have this problem, because there'll be many diseases which will have symptoms. The symptoms will be in one area of the body, but we'll try to find where is the source of the disease. Many times you'll find symptoms, physical symptoms, but the source of the disease can be emotional. Many times you can find emotional problems, and the source of the disease can be physical. Many times you'll find physical or emotional symptoms, and the source of the disease can be mental. Many times there'll be symptoms, mental symptoms, and the source of the disease will be physical. It could be chemical imbalanced. And this, doctors are aware of this. This is why many times they're confused. They can't get a straight diagnosis. It could be psychological. It could be psychiatric. It could be a chemical imbalance. It can be psychosomatic. It can be an allergy, which is producing all types of haywire symptoms in other parts of the body. And the difficulty of this is because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he created a synthesis of man. He created him physical, and he created emotional, and he created him mental, and he put them all together as one. So it's impossible that one area of the body should affect another. Both in an, if there's an imbalance or even if there's a proper balance. For example, now it's becoming mainstream medicine that simcha, happiness, they mainstream doctors are saying this. Experts in cancer, they see cancer patients get well faster and they got better chances of recovery if they're happy and confident in themselves. Now what does one thing have to do with the other? But just as man is a synthesis of all of this, he's a synthesis of something else also. See? And that's the spirit of Hashem that was placed in him. And that also cannot be ruled out. That can imbue the body with fresh strength, which will go through the whole system. Or, to the contrary, that heaven forbid, can cause problems in the whole system. And this is the oneness that the human being was created. He was encompassed both worlds. He was created from the earth and he was created from the heavens. And it's a surah mutzal arso, v'reisha magi ha-shamayimo, and he encompassed both worlds. This is the greatness of the individual. So therefore, Vayiso Yaakov Raglov, once he heard of this great news, all of a sudden, no physical task was too difficult. These are some of the explanations in this dream and these promises that Yaakov was given with Beis El.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.